Welcome to episode 15 of the Power On Retro Gaming Podcast. My name is James and I'm joined by the master of disaster, Scott.
Oh, hello James, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good. Happy Christmas Eve.
Yes, happy Christmas Eve to you too. It's been a while since we've done this podcast. Work commitments have been a bit of an issue the last few months, but we're here. We're ready to do this again.
We're here and we're ready to rumble.
Yes, we are. It was good. We caught up yesterday with a bunch of our mates and we talked about games as well. That was really good. Yeah. And we were talking about what we've been playing. And could you just refresh my memory? What you've been playing, Scott?
Yeah, we did. We had a bit of a catch up with some friends and sort of went through some games we've been playing and games we've been interested in over the last year or so. And it sort of revitalized our interest in sort of doing the podcast too, which was good. And
yes, it did. It was good.
But in terms of what we've been playing, I think for me, I've been playing through the new Pokemon on the Nintendo Switch.
Yep. How are you finding that?
I got Sword. Yeah, I'm only up to the third gym. I'm not as into it as I have been on the previous titles, but to be honest, it is very similar to a lot of the older games, and having come off just beating a few of the other titles, it's sort of like I'm a little bit burnt out with the franchise at the moment. But look, it is good to see it on a current generation console. It's cool that it's on a handheld still, so you can play it wherever. I think that it's a little bit lazy in terms of the Pokemon design. I think they could have done a little bit better. Also, some of the names are a bit like it's almost like they either ran out of ideas or stopped trying. I'm only up to the third gym, so it's hard for me to comment on the game in its entirety. But from what it's been so far, it's been very linear. I've just moved from point to point. It tells you exactly where to go. There's, you know, EXP share from the get-go.
I'm not a fan of that. I like the option of having it. This is forced on you?
Yeah. Another thing, because I just also came off playing Pokemon Let's Go on the Switch, which was one of the first games I got. I tried to finish that before I got this one, but I wasn't successful in that. The problem I had with that is that you can only really get experience from catching Pokemon, and I don't really like repeatedly catching Pokemon. I find it boring. So I've struggled to get through that game. I think I'm up to the last gym or something like that, because I just don't like doing that, and I'm finding it difficult. But that, to me, was more interesting because I love Pokemon Red. It's probably one of my top five games. Although it's based off Yellow, it's still very cool to play and see and all done up the colors. It's great. But this one, I guess, trying to capture my interest in a brand new world, but then it's almost like you're playing it. It's got all these great features, but then, you know, you've got Pokemon that are just basically a sheep that are named sheep.
Woolly.
You know? Woolly. Like, it sort of ruins it for me, you know. There's so many people on the internet and artists and people around the world, they could have put out, say, something on the Pokemon website to design Pokemon and come up with names, and they would have had a million people submit different ideas and you would have had to sign over the rights, whatever, but you know, they could have got a credit in the end of the game or something, but they could have had some awesome designs. But basically what we're getting is, I think there's one that's like a candle. There's a sheep. There's like even one of the main starters that I started with, the fire bunny. I think it's called like bunny or something. It's pretty poor in that regard.
School bunny or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I picked him as my starter as well.
Yeah, but it's basically like rabbit or something. It's almost lazy. So that's my main concern with that. I didn't want to go into it too much. But, yeah, I've been playing that in parts. I've also been playing A Link Between Worlds on the 3DS.
That's a good game.
That's going really well. And probably about 10 hours into it. I think it's about a 15-hour game. So coming towards the end of it, probably got 3 more palaces to go, or whatever they're called, dungeons, and then the final boss. But along with that, some games on the PS4. I've been playing through Dragon Quest Heroes, which is basically like a Samurai Warriors, Dynasty Warriors sort of game, hack and slash. your favorite. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is something I got recently, which I don't really enjoy as much as the third one.
Or and why is that?
I don't know. I think it's heavily reliant on the Marvel characters rather than the Capcom ones. The story seems a bit boring, and honestly, the characters are just whoever's in the current Marvel movies rather than the obscure ones, which I liked about the last installment.
And the game copped a lot of backlash for them doing that as well.
Yeah, it's just lazy again. It's a lazy title in the series, which is extremely popular. Like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was probably the highlight of the series, and it's just the third one was still good. I actually went back and played the third one, Ultimate, on the PS Vita while I was playing Infinite because I wanted to play it so badly, but I was hoping Infinite would be good, and it really failed to meet my expectations. So I went back and played 3 just to sort of get something more out of the game, I guess. But I didn't need, like, I've already played through it a million times, but it's just, I just wasn't enjoying it. I played a little bit of it last night, and yeah, it wasn't really that fun.
That's right. After I left, were you playing it for very long?
No, I was just sort of, we were just sort of chatting, and I was playing just arcade mode and just sort of knocking guys over and such, but it wasn't really like I was really into it. It's sort of boring a little bit, very boring. I mean, they got voice acting for characters like Chun-Li and stuff, which is cool, which you don't really get in Street Fighter at the moment, but it needs something. It needs a bit more polish. Maybe they'll do it in the fourth installment if that ever comes. There was talk of a Street Fighter versus Tekken made by the Tekken guys, but we never got that, unfortunately.
Because the first one was Street Fighter physics, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And Tekken obviously isn't as much jumping. It's more holds and grabs and throws and stuff like that. So it'd be interesting to see that. And being a fighting game sort of guy, I'm always on the lookout for new games and information about them.
Yep.
But yeah, we haven't really seen anything yet for that.
Okay, well, it'd be good to see.
Yeah, and just some others. I've picked up Odin's Sphere again on the Vita, which is a remake of a PS2 game, an Atlas game, which is really cool. Really, really nice looking game, and just fun to play. There's 3 parts of the story. I've been 2 of them.
Is that a Vanillaware game?
No, it's not. It's by the people that made, I'm going to screw this name up, I think it's Muramusa, the Demon Blade.
Yep.
That came after it, so it's the same sort of mechanics as that. So really cool game, just basically a 2D hack and slash with different upgrades and stuff. It's quite fun. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
It's good on the Vita too. Another one was Child of Light, which I beat recently. It's almost like a mobile game. I have it on the Vita. I've had it for about 3 years, just finished it. Almost a little bit of like a Final Fantasy, say 3 on the Super Nintendo style of battle. But yeah, some really, really cool mechanics, interesting story and artwork. Other than that, Mortal Kombat 11, I beat that on the Switch. Terrible graphics, hard to play, laggy, buggy. Probably not worth playing it on the Switch. I beat it, but I bought it again on the PS4 just to play it. The other games have just been stuff that I did end up finishing Persona 5, which I think I've spoke about on a few previous podcasts.
Yeah, it took you a while to get there. I think it was around
100 hours. Yeah, I was playing it on hard, and I didn't realize, and that's why I was struggling so much at the end. So then I dropped it down and was able to beat it. Didn't capture me as much as the 4th one, which is another top 5 game of mine, but it was still fun. I think it's coming out on the Switch, so it might be something I'll pick up again if it's a good price, if there's added extras. But yeah, there's some points in that game where I was like, this just really sucks, and I had to put it down. Also, it does the it has very long boss fights. Some up to about an hour long. If you die, you're back to the start.
I can't deal with that.
Yeah, it's enough to make you want to quit. And so that's happened a few times in my time you get sort of used to these new games where you're playing an emulation on, say, the Switch, where you can save state. You just sort of wish that would be the case with some of these bosses. But unfortunately not. But, yeah, and that's really it for me in terms of games at the moment. What about yourself?
At the moment, I'm just playing Star Wars The New Order on the PS4, which I'm thoroughly enjoying. I'm about, I'd say, halfway through the story.
Yep.
I've been playing it very consistently since the work holidays started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably like a return to form in terms of like a Star Wars story in a video game.
Yeah.
It's usually it's just get up and play. Yeah, the story isn't really well remembered, but thoroughly enjoying this, and it's quite challenging as well.
So is this a LucasArts game, or is it, say, like The Force Awakens? What was it called? Force Unleashed?
Yeah, Force Unleashed.
Is it similar to that? Is it same sort of, is it a carry on from that, or is this a brand new story? Or is
it's a brand new story. The gameplay is, like, I know we're talking bad about it, but like that Nier game, Noah. Yeah, it's sort of kind of like that, where parrying is involved, and you got to be very smart with your bat, like your saber strikes.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more forgiving than the other game, because both of us gave up on that one. While this, I'm pushing through because I'm enjoying the story. I'm enjoying the whole Star Wars atmosphere of it all, the universe. So I'm pushing through, but I'm, it's not like I'm struggling bad with this. Forget it.
Yeah, and that can be the real letdown when you're struggling with a game mechanics, but you really like the story. I remember I was very captivated by the Persona 4 story so much that while I was playing it, I was actually watching the anime. Because that game came out on the PS2 many years before it did on the Vita, but I picked it up on the Vita. I was watching the anime of it, but I had to stop the anime because I wasn't, obviously it's based on the game and it was going to give it away. So I could watch, say, 2 episodes, then I'd have to play 10 hours of gameplay to catch up and not ruin the storyline.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, so, and they did the same thing with Persona 3. They went and made I think it was 3 anime movies, which basically tell the story of the game, because it is a good story. It's like a standalone anime series.
Okay.
Yeah. What else have you been playing?
I recently beat Luigi's Mansion 3, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It was in my top 5 games of the year that I've beaten. Like the whole puzzle, the graphics, the story, just won me over. I could not put it down. I got it like on a Friday night, and I'd beaten it on that long weekend on Monday, and I was just playing all day.
It is very, very easy to pick up the Switch, and when you get on a roll with the Switch, it's very easy to get lost in it. I have been playing a little bit of Samurai Showdown on the Switch, just one of the old ones you can for the store, and I find that every time there's sort of a break in my day, I'll just pick it up and play, you know, 20, 30 minutes, and then it's like, oh, you know, because it's just so easy to pick up. That's the great
thing. It's an easy console to pick up. Like we talked about it a couple of years ago, it was one of my most disappointing purchases of, I think it was 2017 or 18 or whatever it was. But
yeah, I think you had it in storage for a while and you weren't really interested in it. Then all of a sudden you're
this you're year has in been Nintendo. A resurgence of the Switch for me. Link's Awakening, the remake, well, I beat that as well.
It's been a slow takeoff for it. Look, there wasn't that much stuff on it at first, but I think what won me over was the store, the online store. Now, that could be a lot better again. Like, they could even go up another step and start chucking GameCube and stuff on there, which I think they have up their sleeve. I think we've talked about this as well, like on our episode. But, like, there's so much potential for it, really is. You know, Zelda Breath of the Wild, massive game.
Yeah.
Getting a sequel. Breath of the Wild was my first game, and that sat on my side table for probably 6 months before I even really played it for more than 20 minutes. So.
And then when you did, you loved it.
I got into it, yeah. I played about 20 hours of it. I haven't finished it. I feel like it's a little bit overwhelming for me, to be honest. So just, I want something. I like games where you can just quickly get through them.
Yeah.
I don't like to be distracted with games like that, but I've got mates who have played over 200 hours of it. So I think when you're in the same boat as us and you have, you know, 20 games you're thinking about playing, you can sort of psych yourself out a little bit in terms of what you're going to go and play.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just before Star Wars, I recently beat Kirby's Star Allies on the Switch as well. That was also is a very simple game, easy, but a lot of fun. I actually had a lot of fun playing that one.
Is that the 3DS remake?
Nah, it's a whole new game. Whole new game.
Oh, okay, cool.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it's a whole new game.
Because I had one on 3DS and I think it was the same game. I wasn't sure.
Was that Triple Deluxe?
It may have been, yeah.
No, I haven't played that one, but I've got to get back to my 3DS. There's one too many games that you need to beat. What was good about this year? There wasn't a lot of new releases, or there wasn't new releases that I was 100% interested in. Mm-hmm. So I got to play a lot of my backlog.
Do you think that might be, because I feel the same. I feel like this year it wasn't as much that I was getting. Do you feel like maybe it's because you're coming to sort of a point where you've got most of the stuff you want retro-wise? There's a couple of releases per year on the PlayStation or the current gen consoles, but also because the 3DS, the Vita, the PSP have all run their course and they don't make new games for them. That now it's sort of your time to catch up in a way.
In terms of retro, I'm at a point where I've got everything I wanted. There was just probably like three games that I purchased retro-wise this year, while other years I've been spending a lot of money on old stuff. Yep. But this year, as I wasn't really interested in certain games, or games got pushed into 2020 because they weren't finished. Yeah, I was like, okay, I smashed out games on the Wii, the Wii U, which I've had sitting there for years, and I felt happy that I went back and I beat them.
It's almost funny. I know exactly the feeling that you're describing. I did that with a game which I had, get this, I had trailers on my desktop computer when I was younger of this game, and they're in a WAV format or some file format, and I used to watch it and think this game looks so cool. And now this year, earlier this year, I put it in. It was Ninja Turtles on the PS2 based off the 2004 series.
Those games are pretty good as well.
Yeah, and there's three of them. There's Battle Nexus and there's another one. But I put that in. I was like, this is so cool. Like, it's just good to finally get around to it. It is sort of sluggish because it's an older game, but it's just interesting feeling taking the plastic off a game that you've had for so many years that just never got around to. And like every couple of months, I think to myself, gee, I'd really love to go and play Final Fantasy on the PS3. But which one was it? Final Fantasy 13, I think it was, or 12. And I just have never got around to it. But that's like, I saw it on release. I'm like, I can't wait to get that. I got it, and I just haven't played it. It's crazy. Wow. It's crazy. Like, it's just never happened.
There'll be a time.
But yeah, getting there. You know, like it's like anything. But I've sort of strayed away from buying new games because I'm trying to beat older ones. It's also nothing that's really interesting me. But in saying that, I'm sure we'll talk about pickups soon. And there's a few that I've got recently. But I did go back and try to pick up the last couple of titles on the 3DS because obviously that's stopped providing new games. So I just wanted to make sure I got them before they become sort of, you know, obsolete and also hard to find.
And prices go up because you can't get them anymore.
Yeah, because I beat Yo-Kai 2 on the 2DS, which is an RPG. I really loved that game. I was like, this is great. But the third one, which I was so excited to get, got a very, very, very limited release in our region. I couldn't find it. When I did find it online, it was like $200. But there's one coming out on the Switch, which is pretty much going to be the equivalent of, say, a Pokemon Sword or Shield. So that's what they've rushed it out to get it out, but then they're focusing on that. So that's something to look forward to, but I still wish I could get a third one.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Is that your recent gaming pickups, just that one?
No, in terms of pickups, today actually I went on a bit of a, because of last night, I went on a bit of a rampage because there was, I had a bit of extra money from, obviously my birthday was yesterday, so I had a bit of coin. So I went and got Spider-Man, God of War, and Shadow of Colossus remake on PS4, even though I already have it on PS3.
You picked up a bunch of $19 games there, that's, and good ones at that as well.
Yeah, I got them a bit cheaper, but that was pretty cool. And I'm currently waiting on a guy to give me an offer back on this One Piece World Seeker game, but don't know if he's going to. I've gone a bit low.
Yeah.
Now, the other reason I haven't gone out and got, say, the new Zelda remake and a couple of other titles on the Switch is just because of the price. Nintendo Switch games don't really drop.
Not at all.
So it's sort of, I don't want to, because obviously we've got a baby coming, I don't want to be spending that kind of money anymore. Like, you know, having spent $50 this morning on three games that are, I know are good, I'm happy with that, but I'm not going to go crazy. So, yeah, there hasn't really been a lot of pickups that I can think of. Apart from Pokemon. Get one, what was it? Oh, I did get the Street Fighter Arcade edition, Street Fighter 5 Arcade edition on PS4.
Yeah, yeah.
And the latest Dragon Hunter on... Dragon Hunter?
Monster Hunter?
Sorry, not... what did I call it? Dragon Hunter. Dragon Quest Heroes.
Oh, Dragon Quest, yep.
The latest is
that,
one.
Is that 14?
I don't know. There's three on the PlayStation 4 at the moment. I've got the third one.
Okay.
An RPG-based one. It was really cheap. I just grabbed it. I'm not really too sure about it. Yep. But other than that, I also got the last chapter of The Walking Dead. Obviously, I spoke about Mortal Kombat 11. Picked that up again. Yep. Skullgirls 2. Skullgirls Second Encore I got on the Vita. Got that imported. And, yeah, and the latest Blaze Blue game. So just a few fighting games, Samurai Showdown as well, which I had to sort of hunt for. But other than that, that's sort of really it. What about yourself?
My list doesn't go on like that. All I've got is I picked up Anthem for $4 yesterday morning at JB Hi-Fi.
Yep.
I'm like $4. I hear there's a big update which makes the game pretty good.
Yep.
Or playable, so $4, I've spent a lot more money on games that are absolute garbage, so why not $4?
Yep.
I also got Control, which was one of the Game of the Year nominations.
Yep.
I will be playing that probably after Star Wars, and that's another one that I recently picked up as well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of games, that's about it. But I did get the Anime Nintendo 64/GameCube to HDMI converter, which upscales the graphics to 720p.
Yep.
And it will either give you like full screen 16:9 ratio, or you can adjust it to 4:3, so you can like how it's meant to be played. So it's not stretched out. And for example, you know how we played Mario Kart at Bartronica and it's all stretched out, it all looks laggy and slow. This is supposed to stop all that. So I've got Paper Mario on the Nintendo 64 and I've got Paper Mario Thousand Star Door or something that I want to play
on the GameCube.
Yeah.
Oh, you ended up picking it up.
I did. Of course I did.
Oh, that's all right. How much did that set you back? Is that a cube?
Yeah, it's in the hundreds. We'll just say that.
Okay.
Just in case certain wife is listening.
In case who?
A certain wife of mine is listening.
Which she definitely isn't. Yeah. Oh, that's all right then. Look, you got to do these things sometimes if you want to play it. I remember I got it for about $100 as well back in the day.
You did.
I think the 64 one, I have that on the Japanese version.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because it was cheap and I was like, screw it. I'll just read the storyline. But the one on the 3DS, which I played, is really good. And also the one on the Wii U is really good.
Color Splash. You like Sticker Star?
Yeah, I loved it.
See, a lot of people hated it. And the color splash was a lot like the sticker star, and that's why people gave it so much backlash. Because it wasn't like the Paper Mario or the GameCube version.
I think the GameCube version is more so, it's more Mario RPG style.
Yeah, and which, like the 64 version was as well, and that's why people were really upset that Sticker Star and Color Splash was totally different.
Yeah, they're very, look, to be honest with you, I had to use a review, a walkthrough for them, because they're so difficult to navigate. I have no idea what I'm doing half the time. And I haven't felt that lost in a game since I played Zelda Wind Waker, where I was just what do I do now? Because Wind Waker is just similar. I just struggle to find where to go next.
Yeah, because you were always talking about how good Color Splash was, but back when the pricing, it was hard to find, and it was always like $40 to $50, and I did not want to spend that on a game that I've been hearing is so bad. But when JB was clearing out their Wii U games, I got it for like $15, and I was like, bang, let's get it.
Yeah, it's I can't advocate enough for the Color Splash. I really like it. Even if it is bad, to me it's good because it's the first one I've played, if that makes any sense. But
yeah,
you know, I like it. I think it's fun. It's a different style of Mario. Yeah, I mean, having not played Super Mario RPG yet, I'm probably going to play it on the Switch. But yeah, I think it's good.
Good. All right, and we've got some gaming news there's a lot of gaming news the last couple of months, but let's speak with some of the latest one that has come out. And one of them is one that I'm pretty excited for, since I love the second one. Resident Evil 3 is getting remade, and it's been confirmed by Capcom.
Yep.
And, like my wife and I, we absolutely love the second Resident Evil 2 remake. We played it together. We beat it together. I enjoyed the original Resident Evil 3 back in the day, but
did you?
Yeah, I actually did. I know that's a series that you and Gusto used to play as well.
Yeah, we played through the first Resident Evil on the PlayStation 1, and that sort of sparked my interest in game collecting, to be honest, because we used to go and buy games, go back and complete them. I guess that's something I continue to do. But Resident Evil 3 being basically an expansion of the second one, I was interested to see what was going to happen with it, because it was actually made as a...
because it was like meant to be like not part of the main series. It was like a side...
Yeah, it's like only a 4 or 5 hour game. Mind you, Resident Evil 2 can be beaten in about 4 hours. I'm not sure about the remake. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. I think I'm always hesitant about this stuff, although I do like it and I support it. It sort of, to me, it's a bit of a cash grab, and Capcom doesn't have the best reputation. So,
well, that's what Capcom has been doing recently. They've been doing cash grabbing, like with your Mega Man series, Resident Evil. And this leads into the next bit. Capcom has also filed new trademark for Dino Crisis and Darkstalkers. So there's a chance we're going to see a remake of Dino Crisis and possibly a new Darkstalkers.
Well, I mean, Darkstalkers on the PS4, which didn't get a release in Australia, which I picked up, PS3 version in Japan with you, that was a very small game. There wasn't much in it. But apart from that, we haven't seen one since the PSP, which is a mixture of the three games I spoke about in our review from another episode.
Yep.
So, but look, with Samurai Showdown coming out and pretty much being the pinnacle of fighting games at the moment, it's right there. You know, we've had every fighting game bar Final Fight come out again, remade with new characters, etc. And they've been constantly good. So it'll be interesting to see Darkstalkers come out again.
Yep.
Just on a correction there, Resident Evil 2, the original one was a 5 hour game. The remake was an 8 hour game. Yeah, and Resident Evil Nemesis is a 6 hour game. So I'm not sure what the new one will be, but judging by it'll probably be it's hard to squeeze more than, I'd say, 3 hours of additional gameplay into it.
Yeah,
because obviously Resident Evil 3 uses the same map as the second one, so
yeah.
I'm guessing it'll be quite easy to roll over to another one.
100%, 100%.
You know, but then just while we're there, Resident Evil 4, 16 hours, 5 was 12 hours, 6 was 21 hours, so
yeah. Did you beat 5 or 6?
I beat 5. I beat everyone except for Chris's campaign in 6 because it's so boring. 4 I've beaten once, but I've played through it twice.
Yep.
And I played through it on the PS4 recently, but got stuck at the end boss because I can't do it. And I did like the Resident Evil games on the Wii U, Revelations 1 and 2. Second one was probably better.
And did you play Origins?
Origins. Yes, I did. I played that and beat it on the Xbox One.
Yep.
I also beat Zero on the GameCube, which is great, and I didn't beat the remake of the first one.
Okay.
And I'm currently...
That's on the GameCube, yeah?
Yeah. I have it on the Xbox One, the set too, which I might play through again one day. Probably not. But I didn't beat Code Veronica X. There is rumors that that's coming next, which wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Very popular in Japan on the Dreamcast. And Raccoon City, I played the other night for the first time. And someone was online and we played a few levels of cooperative together.
Funnily enough.
So it's safe to say I know my way around the... what did you say? Resident Evil Origins.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 7.
No. Resident Evil 7. Have you played that one? Wasn't there an Origins game?
There's a Dark Side Chronicles? Origins.
Or maybe it's Chronicles, sorry.
Well, okay. Resident Evil 7 was called Biohazard.
Yeah.
Which is almost
Which is a throwback, first one's called. What it's actually called in Japan.
Resident Evil Zero was basically Resident Evil 1 remade, but the other two characters in the original storyline from the first game, which is actually a really cool game, Resident Evil Zero. Reckon you check it out.
Have it on the GameCube.
You and your wife know so much about Resident Evil, but...
Not as much as you.
Yeah, well, I had a burnt copy of the third game. Scared the shit out of me, to be honest. That opening cinematic, so, yeah. Any other gaming news? We've had I touched on the sequel to Breath of the Wild, which is exciting.
We're not sure when that could come out. Who knows with Nintendo?
Yeah, they definitely play their cards close to their chest. I mean, with Persona 5 as well being on the Switch, they set up the main character Joker to be in Smash Brothers, but it's been probably 6 months since they did that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we saw Banjo-Kazooie pop up in Smash Brothers. As we know, Nintendo sold the licensing of Rare to Microsoft. And, you know, we've seen these characters pop up in Smash Brothers, so we're hoping for something, but no announcements as of yet. We did have Fire Emblem Three Houses come out, which... was heavily supported in Smash Brothers. I think they had about 6 or 7 characters, including DLC.
I'm pretty sure that game also won a few awards in the Game Awards.
Yeah, I don't have it. Borderlands 3 also released, which was met with pretty positive reviews.
Yeah. Speaking of Super Smash, Ultimate is now the best-selling fighter game of all time, which surpassed Street Fighter 2.
That's insane. Well, people were getting the console for it, and we know how popular the Switch has been. It's interesting now to talk to people who aren't really gamers and have them say they have a Switch, which is, to me, it's like, wow. So that's really cool.
And also, Outer Worlds announced DLC for their game. That's a pretty popular game. It was a nomination for Game of the Year Award. It's a game that's on my list, which I was telling you about, that I do want. But we'll probably get that next year as well, once we start knocking a few of these recent games off the PS4 list.
Sorry to interrupt you. Are you into the Metal Gear Solid games at all?
Not really. I enjoyed, like, the first two.
On the NES?
No, Not those ones. Like Metal Gear Solid on the PS1. I played that one.
It's almost a trick question for the people who are really into it. They have no idea it was on the NES.
Yeah, so Metal Gear Solid on the PS1. I've played Metal Gear on the NES. That's a bloody hard game. I've got Snake's Revenge, which is the second one, but I don't know where it goes in the timeline because it's just all over the shop.
Yeah, I know I have, I think the latest ones on the PS3, one on the Xbox One, and a couple on PS2, and also the PSP has about 4 games. The Vita even has the collection of the PS2 games on it, which I think I have as well.
So it's crazy. There's that many games in the series.
It's almost like it rivals Resident Evil. Resident Evil is also stretched out across. But what we're seeing now is obviously with the online stores and the newer consoles, we're seeing these libraries be brought into one. The Switch is doing a good job of it with the online subscription, giving you access to, say, you know, I think it's like 30 titles now, and there's new ones every couple of months.
Yeah, it's good.
Even Japanese titles, so it's insane. And I don't know what it does for the game collecting market, but it's fun to, like, people forget that game collecting is one thing, but playing the bloody games is another.
Exactly.
Like, I've got so many games that I could say this is worth $300, but have you played it? No, I haven't. That's sort of our running joke between you and me and in our personal lives when we speak. It's like, I went out and got this, but I haven't played it, sort of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good. So we'll move on from that, unless you got any breaking news you want to go over.
The last news I've got is, as I mentioned, we had the Game of the Year Awards recently. There was a bunch of nominations, but the Game of the Year that actually won was Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice. And that was also won the Action Adventure Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. I haven't played it. It's not really my sort of game. I probably won't play it. If it's anything like Noah, I'll never touch it.
So hang on, this was a game on what console?
PS4, Xbox. It may have come out on the Switch. I'm not too sure. But one Game of the Year. Luigi's Mansion 3 won Family Game of the Year, which I could totally see happening. I absolutely loved it. And the list of candidates for the Game of the Year were Sekiro, Control, Death Stranding. We had Resident Evil 2 Remake, Smash Brothers Ultimate, and Outer Worlds.
Right. Okay.
And that is the news. And let's jump into the topic of the month, or fortnight, I should say. And I'm going to let you go first with this one. Let's discuss your game.
Oh, my game review. Sorry, I wasn't listening. I was actually looking at something else. I was looking at how many units Super Smash Bros. Has actually sold so far, and it's nearing 9 million copies, which is pretty amazing.
We actually got a fun fact, because Street Fighter, which was held by Street Fighter, it's sold 15.5 million units ever since it launched in 91, and that is combined with all the other re-releases that they brought out over the years on the other consoles, and Ultimate has just blown that out of the water.
What did you say, 15 million?
Yeah.
This is showing it Ultimate at number one for the year. Maybe this is per year, but this is saying 9 million.
9 million?
I don't know if I've got the right thing, though. It says week as of... No, I think this is incorrect, because it hasn't been updated, because it only goes to December 2018. But then again, Red Dead Redemption is second with 13 million, which doesn't make any sense at all.
No. So this was about, I think, a month or two ago, and 2019 has been a big year for it, because people are getting on the Switch Lite as well.
I'm looking at the wrong graph here. I got it here. You're right. Cool. All right. Anyway, don't worry about that. Doesn't really matter at the end of the day, does it?
No.
I think it's all mixed in with bloody digital sales as well. So,
yeah, most likely.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway, the game I'm going to review, see if you can guess it, but I beat it. I was speaking earlier about some games I've been playing and how I was burnt out from previous Pokemon installments, because the game I was playing recently and beat was Pokemon Omega Ruby, which I purchased the when they released. They were on sale, $50 each, the 2DS with the Ruby built in and Sapphire built in, and I purchased both of them. I haven't played Ruby because I played Sapphire as a kid when that came out, so I played through I opened the red one and played that.
Did you buy the consoles with it?
Yeah, the consoles with the built-in games.
And, like, one of the consoles was blue, one was red, yeah?
Yeah, that's the one. Yep.
I do remember.
So, yeah, obviously it's a remade, well, I guess you could say remake, but HD of the original. The original released in 2003. This one was released in 2014, so just over 10 years, 11 years later. It's the third. Now, Pokemon Sapphire and Ruby are the third best... Sorry, the third generation of Pokemon games, first on the Game Boy Advance, and actually the best-selling games on the Game Boy Advance. So in saying that, they are heavily scrutinized and considered a disappointment by fans of the series.
Really?
There's a mixture of reasons for that, but I think now retrospectively looking at it, it's easy to see that they aren't the best in the series compared to, I think, X and Y are considered to be some of the best.
I must say, I really did enjoy X when and I played it. I never played the original Ruby and Sapphire. It was on the Game Boy Advance, yeah?
Yeah. I didn't get the release either.
I never had it on the Game Boy Advance, but when I played the remake, I actually really enjoyed it. That's the last Pokemon that I had beat until now when I played Sword.
Yeah, see, I didn't get it because I thought I was sort of done with Pokemon when that came out. I had Silver, then that came out. I think I was around year 9 or year 8, and then I actually ended up getting it late to the party, very late. It's probably 2 years after it came out, and then played it. At the time, it was cool because it was obviously up a step from the original black and white one. But yeah, well, anyway, so obviously, let's go into a bit of a review of it. I'll do a bit of background first. It was produced by Game Freak, along with Nintendo, which they have a company together called the Pokemon Company, which releases their Pokemon games.
Yep.
Now, while doing this, while looking into this, just to get some more notes, I actually looked into a bit of who actually owns Pokemon. Because you look at it and you say, okay, Game Freak's attached to it, Nintendo's attached to it, then there's something called If Creatures attached to it. Who actually owns it all? Now, Nintendo owns the trademark to Pokemon.
I thought it'd be Game Freak.
No, Nintendo owns the trademark, so it can't show up on another console. So you couldn't see Pokemon fucking Lemon Tree on Xbox. Yep. But Game Freak and Nintendo work together under the banner of the Pokemon Company to produce the games. That's what you'll see at the start of the games.
Mm-hmm.
In saying that, Nintendo, Game Freak, and the If Creatures all own 33% of the Pokemon franchise. But much like, let's say, Rare with the Banjo-Kazooie, Nintendo owns the... They own the licensing trademark for it. So that's why they sort of have the ultimate control over it, over the product. And they have obviously an agreement with the two that they'll stick with them. So there is an equal share between the three divisions, but it's not going anywhere. But that's basically how it's broken down. It is a bit of a funny situation because I was reading up about it. It doesn't really make too much sense, but basically what it was saying is, it's split three ways, but if it came down to it, Nintendo ultimately has the rights to it, and they'd be able to walk away with it if they had to.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was pretty interesting, because I've always wondered, you know, like, there's Game Freak, but how come it's just not Nintendo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we had new updated graphics for this game. The music was redone. It has all the in-game activities from the older version, with the inclusions of the newer features, including the Pokedex updates and map updates, secret base updates, which are featured in X and Y. It was heavily reliant on the mechanics of X and Y to touch up the game. The complaints that originated from the originals are still present in the game, such as the poorly designed map, heavy reliance on HM moves like dive, waterfall, surf, fly, etc. This game has the most HMs out of any Pokemon game, and you can't progress in the game unless you're using them, which means you have to sacrifice moves in your list of four per Pokemon, resulting in a lot of Pokemon being in the party towards the end of the game, which don't need to be there because obviously you don't want to use secret Pokemon and have them using dive and surf when they're... See,
with Sword and Shield, that wasn't existent in it. I did not like it. There was no strategy there.
Yep.
It was just like, oh, yeah, just use this move and you're all good.
Yeah.
Didn't have to sacrifice a slot.
Yeah. See, although the game looks great in the 3D, there is still... It does have a gloomy feel to it. Some people have described it as muddy looking, which I can actually agree with. When I played through it the first time, I wasn't impressed with how it sort of looks. Although it's now colourful, it's not as nice as, say, a Pokemon Let's Go. But it is still a 3D game. They fixed up the mechanics of the movement of the player. It used to sort of be skates where it was left and right, up and down. Now you can go in all 3D directions.
Yeah.
So that's been cool because you've got the toggle on the joystick of the 2DS, which is great.
Yep.
XP share has been added from the get-go, much like the newer games, but you can turn it off, which is basically... another complaint, because original gamers of this series like the fact that you have to train to get where you want to go. This one allows for obviously a little bit of extra for everyone per battle. It's almost like a helping hand.
Yep.
Some gamers don't like it. Newer gamers tend to like it because it makes them progress through the game quicker.
Yeah.
Battle Frontier is gone and replaced with the Battle Mansion, which isn't much of a big deal. It's something, you know, it's like for like, really. Another main complaint, which hasn't really been changed in this, is it's obviously set in the Hoenn region, fictional region. The game still favors water type Pokemon, making it feel unbalanced. There is a strong, I can't remember the percentage, but the game is heavily featured with water type Pokemon throughout the game. So basically, wherever you go on the map is what I'm saying. Wherever you go on the map, there'll be a strong sort of, if you go into the grass or something like that, there'll be a strong amount of water type Pokemon. So there's not a variable amount of different types, which is one of the biggest complaints, because there's not many fire or there's not many grass or whatever. So, yeah. Also, the other main complaint is the large bodies of water, whether that's below sea level, above, you always seem to be surfing and going around to do different tasks that involves traveling over water, which people don't like. I definitely don't like it. I didn't like the dive feature. I didn't like the waterfall feature, and I didn't like the idea of swimming around between the rocks, diving, then coming up again and trying to find where you got to go. I just didn't like it.
I did find that annoying when I did play it.
Yeah. Now, they've lowered the difficulty of the game, and in doing this, they give you one legendary Pokemon right at the end before the Elite Four.
Yeah.
But they also basically give you one, which is Groudon. Groudon, I think it is, which is the red legendary on the front cover. You get gifted a Master Ball, which you can catch him, so you might as well be gifted him because you'd be an idiot not to use it on that. So you've got two legendaries before you even make it to the Elite Four, basically. So makes the game a lot easier, although it doesn't gift you. They're not on a super high level. It is much easier to use them, having such a powerful team with those two legendaries in it. So you've still got over 200 Pokemon to collect. There is now a post-game story, which apparently a lot of people consider to be better than the actual storyline in the game. And, you know, you've got more legendaries in this game than any other Pokemon game so far. I'm pretty sure Sword and Shield. So you've got to go around and catch the Regis, the Latios, so all those sort of things to do. They've obviously added in the Mega Evolutions to this, which is really, really cool if you like that sort of thing. I don't really like it. I think it's unnecessary. To me, I'd probably prefer they focus on the design of the Pokemon and just some better evolutions, but it being an older game, there's only so much they can do. But I think in total, in conclusion, really, it was fun to play through again, but it almost felt like a bit of a chore because I just didn't like the dive and the surfing aspects of the game. And when I got to that section of the game, I was sort of dreading it because I'm like, I don't want to do this. I just want to beat the game. And that really burnt me out. So leading into Sword straight after it, I was like, I can't be bothered with this.
This came out after X and Y, the remake. Yeah, that's what I thought. So I beat X and Y, then I beat this, and then they came out with Sun and Moon and Sun and Moon Ultra, but I never played any of those.
No, but, neither did I.
But,
I got the 3DS version of Sun and Moon, the special edition new 3DS, but and both the games, but I didn't get the Ultra versions, and I didn't even play Sun and Moon.
Okay.
But look, I might one day. I've still got to play bloody Platinum, and there was one Platinum, I think it's like Platinum 2 or something.
Was it Crystal?
Crystal, and yeah, there's that many that you sort of lose track a little bit of what's going on.
Yeah, because Crystal and Platinum, they were Game Boy Color games, weren't they?
No, Crystal was the middle game, because Emerald was the middle game with Sapphire and Ruby. Crystal was the middle game with Gold and Silver.
Oh.
There was Platinum, and then there was Pearl and something else. Platinum and Pearl and one of those ones. Yeah. And there was Black and White, and there was Black and White 2.
I enjoyed Black 2. That was a good game.
But was it might have been a new story. But the main thing about when I was researching this game after I wrote my own notes, it was really cool to look through the comments on the message boards and stuff and look at what they were saying. Basically, people saying they should port this to the Wii U, la, 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 la. I'm pretty sure Sapphire, the original, was on the Wii U store.
Wasn't it?
The Wii store, yeah. But they were saying, like, oh, they should port this to the Wii U. And then there was another comment saying, oh, I heard they're remaking Pokemon Red on the new Nintendo console, and it was just, it felt nostalgic to just sort of read these comments about things that were coming up, which now we actually have, and see what they've become.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Just because I liked the Wii U, I think it was a really underrated system, and to see people talking about it, I thought it was really awesome because I didn't have anyone other than yourself that had one.
Yeah.
And it is quite a good console, although now it's sort of been merged into the Switch with all the games pretty much being on it, except for, I think,
Super Mario 3D World. The Wonderful 101. Yep. Yeah. And a few other bits and pieces there, but they're like the main games, I'd say.
Yeah. Was there a Fire Emblem on it?
I don't believe so.
Oh. Anyway, hang on. Was that? Yeah, I don't think there was. There was a few on there. Oh, then there might have been that. I'm not sure. Anyway, but that came out on
Switch, yeah?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was on the Wii U as well. I don't think it was. It was on the 3DS and the Switch, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But yeah, that was my game. I clocked in about 17 hours to beat it.
Yeah.
The good thing about the 2DS is you can sort of freeze it and just flick it off and you can turn it back on where you left it, so...
Yeah,
that was cool, but it was a fun game. Good to go back, and obviously knocking over an RPG is a big deal because you put a lot of hours into them.
Yep.
But now let's hear your review, my friend.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about a game that I used to play a lot as a kid. Mm-hmm. I used to go over to a family friend's place. They had it set up in the Nintendo 64 console all the time. We used to have played four players. There's a lot of four-player games on the Nintendo 64, but this was probably one of my favorites with GoldenEye up there. And the game I'm going to talk about is Diddy Kong Racing. Diddy Kong Racing is a game developed and published by Rare for the Nintendo 64.
Oh, Thumper.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It was released on the 21st of November in 1997 in the PAL territories, and the 24th of November 97 in North America. Now, the game is set on Timbers Island, and it revolves around Diddy Kong and his friend's attempt to defeat the bad guy, which is a wizarding pig called Whiz Pig. They could have come up with something a bit better than Whiz Pig by winning a series of races.
You weren't there. You don't know. That's the best thing. Sorry, go on. I'm ruining your review. Yeah.
That's all right. The player can take control of any of the featured characters throughout the game. Probably should have wrote down all the characters, but there's a fair few. You've got Diddy, of course. You've got Timber. You've got the little turtle guy. What's the turtle guy's name? I don't know. You got Banjo.
Drumstick the Rooster, Crunch the Kremlin, Tip Top the Turtle, Taj the Genie, Bumper the Badger, Timber the Tiger, Pipsy the Mouse, TT the Timer, and Whiz Pig the Boss, and Conker the Squirrel.
There you go. And this was this was the first time you saw Banjo as well in the game before Banjo-Kazooie.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Banjo-Kazooie was delayed by Rare, so this game could come out, apparently.
You know what's interesting? Sorry, when I've searched for Diddy Kong Racing characters, it doesn't actually have Banjo in the list. Because I didn't read him out just then. Yeah, he's not on the list.
Yeah, because there was like this whole thing with the designer Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Well, this is from what I've heard. And they brought out because they wanted a kart racing game for the holiday period. Mm-hmm. And even Miyamoto said, well, you've created Diddy Kong. You can use him as your main guy for this, because he was going to be someone else was going to be the main character for this game. But they went to Miyamoto, and Miyamoto said, why not use the character that you created in Donkey Kong Country?
I think TikTok, sorry, the clock and the rooster were unlockable characters now that I think about it.
Yeah. It was such a creative game. It was so good. I found it so much better than Mario 64. Like, it had more to play, more to do.
Hang on.
The little... Yeah?
Are you talking about Mario 64... Not Mario,
Mario Kart. Mario Kart, sorry. Mario Kart
64. I was going to say, careful there. Moving
it's a better game than Mario 64, but Mario Kart, yes, better game. What are your thoughts on that?
I had both. Diddy Kong Racing had a lot more in it than Mario Kart. I'm not going to lie. You could change your vehicle types from flying, hovercraft and racer, or just a four-wheeler. I think with Diddy Kong Racing, I have never played a racing game that I found so difficult. You're racing elephants and rhinos and stuff and dinosaurs. And
yeah, I like found the it boss difficult. Battles were fun.
But there's a lot more in it in terms of collectibles. But I reckon they looked at what Mario Kart had and did stuff that it didn't have. But it's the 8th best-selling game, it says here, on the Nintendo 64. There was a planned sequel for the GameCube, but it was abandoned. So they remade it on the DS.
Yeah, because I think it was abandoned because they sold off Rare to Microsoft.
Yeah, Rare sold for $375 million in 2002. Now, it's funny that we always talk about this sale. It's like the show might as well be based around the Rare sale. but because it's like every good game we had on the 64 was sold in the Rare package.
Yeah.
You know, so look, yeah, I think it was a great game. It had cool maps. It had cool music, interesting characters, unknown characters, which made it good. We had Conker's Bad Fur Day release just after this, which I think there was also a Conker game release, which wasn't Bad Fur Day, where it was a kid's game featuring Conker, as well as the Game Boy games. But no, I found it was really good. I never finished it. But yeah, it was like Diddy Kong was a cool character in Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Was this before or after the Donkey Kong 64 game?
It was before.
Okay, yeah. So, because if you look at the sprite, the cover art, the Diddy Kong resembles the one from Donkey Kong Country 2 closely, which is cool. Nothing. I mean, Banjo Pilot was, I believe, a game on the GameCube or slated to be released. Don't know if that actually got released. I think it was a Game Boy Advance game, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Got put on the Game Boy Advance in 2005, which uses similar mechanics. It's supposed to be Diddy Kong Pilot, but changed to Banjo because it's more popular. I don't think there's any plans for any future games for Diddy Kong Racing, but you never know. Like, this is the thing with Nintendo. They can pull this sort of stuff out of a hat and, you know, it'll sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. As mentioned, I never owned this as a kid, but I always played the multiplayer battle system with the friends. But during my teens, I borrowed it off someone. And that's when I played through, I think it was close to the end of the game. My cat knocked the Nintendo 64, and I didn't have a memory card at this time. Knocked the Nintendo 64, I believe it was Sassy who knocked it, and game over. I had this thing running for like days on end. I wanted to beat the game.
Well, maybe we'll have to pull up the socks and get into it this year sometime.
Or next year?
Next year, even. Yeah, it's probably better. It's interesting that they haven't really, it doesn't get as discussed as much, but a lot of people did have it. It was very popular. And I think that the Sonic Tag Team Racing, or whatever they're called, what's the new Sonic Racing games? They might have borrowed
or something.
Sonic Transformed, those games where you can transform your car. It might have been based off sort of this type of game because you can use the different sorts of cars.
Was this on the Wii and the Wii U?
Yeah.
I actually had a lot of fun with those.
Yeah, but that, like, what I mean by that is in Diddy Kong Racing, you can turn into a plane and that, but you can do the same in the Sonic games, the Sonic Racing games. They may have pinched that idea off it. I mean, I'm sure other games have done it, but yeah, good review.
All right, and where are we at? That's about it?
That's about it for today's episode, I think. Do you want to plug your Facebook and Instagram?
Yep. All right. Well, you can find us on Facebook page. It is Power On Retro Gaming. And you can also find us on Instagram, and that's Power On Retro Gaming as well. And on Twitter, on Power On Gaming.
Great. All right. Next time.
Next time. Bye.
Bye.